Hey everyone, it's Chris Platty. Man, this has been the longest hiatus in the history of my podcast since I started it. Moved over to doing a lot of Instagram content, again, at Real Chris Platty on Instagram. So that's where I've been keeping up. I've been dropping waves weekly. I've been doing the weekly live streams. I've been just pushing my content there and unfortunately just haven't been able to get to the podcast. But I want to get back to this space, man. I miss it. I enjoy it. Also, I started a Pistons podcast with four of my guys. That is on Sports Radio Detroit's feed. So if you've been following me on my Twitter and Instagram at Real Chris Platty, you've been able to see that. And yeah, I just wanted to return as the NBA season is returning. I wanted to come back. There's a lot of moments that I missed that I talked about on the live stream. That then I just couldn't find the way to bring back to the podcast platform, like Kanye and Drake's albums, all of the stuff that happened in the summer with Ben Simmons and the Philly drama that's still ongoing. So there's been a lot of stuff that's happened, and I've covered it on the Instagram side of things, not the podcast side of things. So for those that tune in for the podcast, I apologize that this has been such a long gap. But I am back. And I have my man Josh with me, and this is one that we've been wanting to do forever. So we're doing the top 40 players of the NBA heading into the NBA season. And then I plan on doing a Eastern Conference and a Western Conference preview before the start of the season. So that'll be now three pods you'll begin within the next 7 to 10 days leading up to the regular season. And then as far as the hip-hop side, just trying to figure out what's the next piece of content I want to get out on the hip-hop side for this podcast. But thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Without further ado, let's toss it to me and my man Josh breaking down our top 40 players of the NBA. Let's go. Hello everyone, welcome back to Strictly Hoop Talk. It's been a minute. As always, I'm your host Chris Platty, and the NBA season is right around the corner, so I didn't get to do as much NBA content on the podcast. I did a lot of stuff with Instagram and the Wave and all that, so for those that have been keeping up on that, you've gotten your NBA content there and also the live streams. But I'm back in podcast form because it is the NBA season approaching. And so I got my man Josh with me, and we are doing our top 40 players of the NBA entering the season. Josh, what's up, my boy?
You already know who it is, a.k.a. Lil Big Back Shots. You know, keep it real.
Oh, we still not doing that. We still not doing it. Some things never change.
The GOAT of them all.
Listen, man, I'm glad to have you back on because this is a conversation that we've been dying to have. And you were pressing me about it, and then I was pressing you about it. And this was honestly like 2 months of us being like, we got to do this pod. But
exactly, you
know, life shit that we won't get into here. Exactly. And a whole bunch of other shit happened. But let's jump into, so we'll go from one all the way down to 40. But we'll go in kind of groups. So like, I organize mine into five tiers, kind of like a pyramid where the first tier is the smallest, and then it kind of expands and widens as we go. So I think that's a good way to do it. My tier one is simple, man. My tier one is three names, and okay. I think our three names should be the exact same.
They will be.
KD is my one. Giannis is my two. LeBron is my three. Is that your order, or is that your three? First of all, is that your three?
That's my three. That's not my order, though.
Okay, what's your order?
My order, you already know. King James still number one. He was injured, I believe, wholeheartedly. So, and he's my number one still until proven otherwise. My number two is KD.
Okay, that so Giannis was three.
Yes, Giannis is my third.
I had to put Giannis two, bro, after what he did in the finals. Like, you just, I feel you. I honestly, I almost made tier one just KD and Giannis. Because, not that LeBron can't be number one, which is why he ultimately stayed in tier one, but because I just think that, because I agree with you, LeBron was not healthy last year. LeBron is still, when he is fully healthy, he is still arguably the best player on this earth. So that's why he's in tier one, kind of out of respect. But in a sense, it's also not crazy if LeBron reclaimed the throne. I think there will be like a 6 week period where he'll, or like a 4 week period this year where they'll be like, is LeBron the best player in the NBA again? I could see that happening. So that's why LeBron is in tier one. But for me, he's third because he wasn't healthy last year.
True.
This is going to be year 19. He has the second most minutes in NBA history on his body. You know, like, I've seen the last year and a half, I have seen LeBron slow down in some sense. Yeah. Obviously, he's still LeBron, but he is slowing down. And I'll be honest with you, I can't believe KD is one coming off of a torn Achilles. That is nuts to me.
That's also nuts to me. But I mean, he's number two to me, so I mean, it's not that far off.
But still, for him to be considered arguably the best player in the world is insane. And what makes KD over Giannis for me, and you had KD over Giannis as well, is just the ability to score. Like, I think he's honestly the greatest scoring forward ever. Like,
forward?
Yeah.
Oh. Honestly,
and I think he's arguably the greatest scorer ever.
At least like talent wise, he to me is the
because he most just talented. Has a mismatch on everybody. He's either too big, he's never too strong, so we're not saying that one. But he's either too big or too quick,
and he can shoot that.
He from can 30. He can shoot it from 30. He can shoot it any way you want, off ball. Create his own shot with the handle. Like, he's got it all.
Fade away. He got every move in
his repertoire. But Giannis is what Giannis did in that finals, man. He, like, them, you know, that 50 piece with the defense too? Yeesh. Like, bro, I just had to put Giannis too for that. But KD is my one.
Yeah.
Let's jump to tier two. So tier two is, for me, is four people. Okay. First of all, do you agree with, as we go through these tiers, do you agree that LeBron, KD, Giannis should be like its own tier?
Yes, I agree with that.
See if you agree with where my cutoff is for tier two. Tier two is for me number four, Luka, number five, Kawhi, number six, Curry, number seven, James Harden. That's my tier two. So do we got some differences?
Oh, yeah, we do. We definitely
Is it the same four, just different order?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're still
going. I think we're gonna get to, my prediction is, I think we're gonna get like 15, maybe even 16 deep before we have somebody that isn't. The order will be different, but we have somebody that the other person didn't have.
I don't think we're gonna get that far. I think once we get to around like 12 to 15, we're gonna have the first person. And we're like,
I'm pretty confident that 15 is our first 15 are the same, just different order. But go ahead with your. Your four through seven.
All right. Yeah, because my four through seven, honestly, they're all really tight. So I'm not upset with that
four through seven.
I'm not upset with how you had them maneuver. But my four through seven, I have Curry at four, Kawhi at five.
I almost had Curry at four.
Harden at six, and I got Luka at seven. So I got Harden. Harden slightly ahead of Luka. Slightly. Because my man Luka has never gotten out of the first round. I can't give him
bro, that. But come on. I can't do it. He carried a bunch of donkeys.
He did, but he still ain't getting out the first round. I can't do it.
When you're guarded by Kawhi, who's arguably the greatest defender in the league, and Paul George, you're just harassed by them constantly, and you still are dropping 40-piece like triple doubles like it's nothing. Come on, man. Come on, bro. His second best player was Tim Hardaway Jr. Come on, dog. Kawhi had Paul George and Marcus Morris.
Now, if he would have beaten those people.
And Reggie Jackson was playing like a fucking all-star.
Yes, Menace. And then, what's his face? The second-year player was playing.
Terrence Mann. But yes. That was later.
He's playing good, though.
But, yeah.
He's playing.
bro, look, come on, man. Luka just
it was crazy. Luka Ledger.
Your boy, listen, I'll make the comparison to your boy, not my boy. But like what you always say to me about Zach LaVine, he had nothing. This guy Luka had nothing. Boy. He had just great coaching. And Rick Carlisle's a great coach, which I think is for the record, a mistake that they moved on from Rick Carlisle.
I mean, the tension
between him and Luka. Yeah.
It was a serious beef they had. Yeah.
So I get it, but like from just like a pure like basketball wise, I think Rick Carlisle was great.
No, don't get me wrong. Had Luka won that series, he definitely is my four. But since he did not win that series, I cannot give it to him.
He took him to seven, dog. He did. He took him to seven with Tim Hardaway Jr. And Tim Hardaway Jr. is a nice role player, but he's nowhere near this top 40.
Hey, KP should have did better. I ain't gonna lie. KP sold him.
Yeah, KP.
KP sold him.
Okay. So I almost had Curry though, just because of obviously how impressive Curry was. I almost absolute had him four. Monster. I had Kawhi over him. You can argue me flipping Curry and Kawhi just because Kawhi was great, but those couple games he had, game 6 and 7 in the first round, and like some of the moments he had in the playoffs just reminded me, like, as special as Curry is, and we are splitting hairs here at this point, Kawhi just that two way
tough
was tough for me. It was tough for me to go over. And then Harden 7, and you had Harden below everybody but Luka, right?
Yeah, so I had Harden 6.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Maybe I'm a little too high on Luka, but dog, just look at what he did.
And once he gets out of the first round, I'm definitely gonna bump him up there. But he needs to get out.
He ran into a team that's perfectly built to beat him, though.
That's true, but he also is perfectly built to beat them as well. Literally,
I mean, kind of.
Literally, if Kristaps Porzingis would have came through just a little bit, they win that series. They literally win.
Literally,
okay. Probably win in 6.
Tier three. I have 4 people again.
All right.
I have Dame, Jokic, Embiid, and AD. So number 8, Dame. Number 9, Nikola Jokic. Number 10, Joel Embiid. Number 11, AD. First of all, do you agree with cutting off that tier there?
Yes.
Okay. And so, because looking at my number 12, which we'll get to, is somebody that I think that he's good, but he's not that tier. Yeah. This is like... So, like, tier 1 is obviously best player in the league, arguably best player in the league. Tier 2 is, like, you are for sure an MVP candidate. Kawhi obviously isn't playing this year, but...
You're either an MVP candidate, can potentially win multiple MVPs, and also be a leader.
And then tier 3 is your if you get the right storyline narrative, you're an MVP candidate.
Correct, and you can win it.
Yeah.
But like, you're only winning, last year. Yeah, but you're probably only winning, like, one at best.
One at best. So, okay, so... Again, Dame 8, Jokic 9, Embiid 10, AD 11. What did you have?
Okay, so I got AD 8, even though he had a horrible season. I just, you know. Yeah,
that's why he's 11 for me. But I could easily see a world in which he's 8 at the end.
Especially if he gets healthy again. I got him 8, I got Embiid 9, I got the MVP Jokic 10, and I got Dame at 11.
Okay.
I think Dame just missed that top 10 barely. Like, had Jokic not won MVP this year, I would have definitely had him over. I'd have had Dame over Jokic. But since Jokic just went crazy this year and was able to stay healthy.
I was arguing Jokic's MVP all season and why it was a good MVP. But at the end of the day, I found myself surprised I slightly took Dame. But Dame, just what he does in the playoffs,
he's just so clutch.
He's so unbelievably clutch.
He just needs a...
That's why I had him 8, honestly. It's just like the way he plays the game, man. Like, he can literally just carry absolutely nothing.
He really can be like Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Not exactly
like
the same, but he...
Literally Steph Curry like.
Damn near. I feel bad even saying Steph Curry like, because he's just so fucking amazing. Yeah.
I know. I do too. But did you have Jokic over Embiid? Or Embiid over Jokic?
I had Embiid over Jokic.
That's fair. I respect that because of the defense. But yeah,
that man is a monster on defense.
But you know what? How good Nikola Jokic runs that offense is just incredible.
Top five passer in the league.
As bad of a defender as people say he is.
I just think Joel Embiid's an elite defender.
Yeah. He is, obviously.
Yeah, he just needs to, like, get in better shape. And, like, he was in good shape this year, and he's relatively healthy.
But Joel Embiid, the thing is about Joel Embiid is I be seeing him get gassed too much.
Yeah.
Which is why I slightly put Jokic over, is because I seen him, like, as the series went on, some of those series, like, he just had moments where he just was too tired. And I get it because Philly had no offense outside of him, but because, you know, your second best player refused to shoot. But that's all another thing.
He refuses to do anything.
All right, tier four. This is where it gets a little wider. This takes us to 20 for me.
Okay.
So 20 is the cutoff for tier four.
All right.
So number 12, I have Jason Tatum.
Okay.
Number 13, I have Trae Young. Number 14, I have Kyrie Irving. Number 15, I have Devin Booker. Number 16, I have Paul George. Number 17, I have Jimmy Butler. Number 18, I have Bradley Beal. Number 19, I have Zion Williams. Number 20, I have Karl-Anthony Towns.
I called it.
Okay. So you're 12 through 20. Read it. Just read it off.
I called it. I knew 12 through 15 was going to be the one where he switched up. I called it.
Is it Kyrie?
Yeah, he's not in my top 15.
That's wild.
No, neither is Trae Young. But okay.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So mine goes 12, Jason Tatum.
I think 12 Tatum is like kind of a lock.
Yeah.
Like he kind of leads the.
He does. He's clearly to me. It's 12, Jason Tatum. 13, Paul George. 14, Jimmy Butler. 15, Zion Williamson. 16, Kyrie. 17, Trae. 18, Devin Booker. 19, Chris Paul. And 20 is Bradley Beal.
Wait, so who did you have that I didn't have in there? Or who did you, or because you had Chris Paul, which wasn't in my 12 through 20. Who wasn't in your 20 that I named? Tatum, Trae, Kyrie, Booker, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Bradley Beal, Zion, and Kat. It was Kat, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Kat is the person I flipped out.
Okay. For you.
I knew it. And then our 12 through 15
I'm
is
not totally mad
different.
At that, but I'm not totally mad at that, but. But Towns is that boy. So okay, so where do we want to unpack here? So first, actually, let's first unpack with Kyrie not being your top 15. No, let's unpack Trae. We'll take it in order. So Trae was my 13. I am surprised that you don't have him very high.
That's crazy because I absolutely adore Trae Young, and you know that I absolutely love Trae.
And you know I was low key like I wasn't shitting on him, but I was like
you was low key
like,
talking
prove it. I was like, prove it. And he did.
He did. You were talking down on him. You didn't think he's going to get by Philly. I'm like, I was like, he got a shot because Trae Young do his thing. My only issue is, like, you saw what Paul George did.
Yeah.
Once Kawhi went down.
Once Kawhi went down.
Absolutely just said, I low-key can do this. And then he went against Phoenix. Yeah. And low-key got two games off of him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, PG impressed me.
He did. He did. He's 16. And that's, like, really good. Like, I didn't think. We had conversations throughout the year, and I think there were times when we said that he wasn't top 25.
Yeah.
And we said how many times did we say over, he has all the tools in the, like, he looks like a player that should be a top 10 player, but he's not.
MVP caliber player. I was calling him Pandemic P for the longest time this year, but he just balled out. So
And this tier to me can be classified as super duper outliers, but mostly super duper MVP outliers, but most of these guys are younger, so that they'll probably grow into that tier three where they can get as some of these older guys like Durant and LeBron phase out
Curry
and
Kawhi,
Curry and Kawhi then I could see some of these guys like Tatum, Trae,
Zion,
Booker,
see all them.
But right now these are like super duper fringe MVP candidates for sure, like all NBA considerations.
Definitely, either considerations or on the
All-NBA
team.
Or on the All-NBA team.
I totally agree with that.
So, yeah, I'm surprised you have. Let's get to Chris Paul over Karl-Anthony Towns, because Chris Paul is not far. He's coming up soon for me.
Hey, Karl-Anthony Towns coming up soon for me.
So what makes you put CP3 over Towns? Is it just the fact that he's a leader that's won games? Because Karl-Anthony Towns, man, like. I know he puts up stupid numbers and they lose, but like I generally don't think he's a good player. Like I think he's, it's weird that I feel much more about him the way you feel about LaVine. Like I truly think that Kat is like a guy that can be otherworldly if he just gets the right piece around him or the right coaching or literally like just gets unlocked. And part of it is like the personal stuff that he went through last year, getting COVID, losing 7 or 8 family members to
tragic.
COVID. Like,
honestly,
And then again, there was also he was actually very close with Mac Miller. So he's had a very rough like personal couple years.
A little tough stretch.
And I think that's affected his game. But I think when he showed, which it would any human. So I'm not condemning him for it. But I think that he slept on as how talented he is. Like I think he should for sure be a top 20 player. I think he should for sure be over Chris Paul, even though Chris Paul was absolutely sensational this year. And Chris Paul is not that far behind on my list. But see, I just think Cat, like,
the reason I can't put Cat over CP3 is because CP3 and Devin Booker to me are so close together in terms of like who's better. I only give Book the slight edge. As I have Book at 18 and Chris Paul at 19. Well, I think
the finals separated it. But I felt that way all season. Yeah. But the finals separated it to me.
Yeah, definitely. But see, the thing was, before, as we were talking about, the Suns were not even in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They were in the play-in without CP3.
Yeah.
Literally, they add him and maybe like one or two more pieces. Not really significant. Well, Campaign did some. He went crazy in the playoffs, yeah. But they literally went from not in there.
At the end of the day, they are a team. I get you. They went from playing tournament not making the playing tournament to literally NBA finals. But like,
and a 2 seed. Don't forget 2 seed.
Yes, we do have to acknowledge that like things did break right for them. And I hate saying that stuff because the truth is the NBA is the NBA and things always happen. So that's not a fair argument. But I think that, you know, that does play. Like, if they got knocked out in the first round, think about how different that story is. If LA just was healthy, knocked them out, LA's the better team, blah, 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 whatever, they won. It's a good year for Phoenix. They got the 2 seed.
Great year.
Great year. However, I think that story is much different. That narrative is much, much different if they lose in the first round to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden it doesn't go from missing the playoffs to NBA finals. It goes from missing the playoffs to first round, and that's like the normal transgression that teams go through. Like we talk about, like Atlanta kind of skipped some levels. You know what I mean?
They went from
you know, no playoffs to Eastern Conference Finals. I think that's going to come back down this year.
They will.
But anyways, I think that Chris Paul over Towns. I get it, but I think that at the end of the day, I would just take Towns. I felt like our 20 should have been the same 20, just a different order, to be honest with you.
I told you we were going
to
switch.
That was the only difference, right, in our 20, other than order, right? So far, that's been our first difference.
I think so.
Yeah, that has been. So
yeah, because we both had Bradley Beal in there. Okay,
tier 5. And tier 5 takes the rest of the list home for me. So it's 21 through 40. So I'll read it all, and then we'll dissect. And this will be a lot of us probably asking each other, wait, so where was this guy? Where was that guy? Okay, so let me read it off.
Okay.
So quickly, I have 21, Chris Middleton. 22, 22 Chris Paul. 23, Jamal Murray. 24, Donovan Mitchell. 25, Ben Simmons. 26, Jaylen Brown. 27, Klay Thompson. 28, Drew Holiday. 29, Bam. 30th, Russell Westbrook. 31, Julius Randle. 32, Draymond Green. 33, Rudy Gobert. 34, Zach LaVine. 35, Sabonis. 36, SGA. 37, Jeremy Grant. 38, Nikola Vucevic. 39, Brandon Ingram. 40, Pascal Siakam. Brandon Ingram was originally 40, and that shocked me.
Oh, wait. Oh, you had Brandon. That is crazy. And you switched it. Who did you end up switching?
I ended up switching Pascal, 40.
I'm glad you did that, because Brandon
Ingram. Yeah, Brandon Ingram is better than Pascal.
He is. Okay.
But, okay. So, I'll leave it here so you can kind of relook at it as you. But where do you want? Just read your 21 through 40.
All right.
And then we'll kind of unpack.
Oh, this is going to be crazy. This is good. This is crazy. Okay, so mine goes 21, Donovan Mitchell. 22, Cat. 23, Zach LaVine. 24, Russell Westbrook. 25, Bam. 26, wow. Rudy. 27, Jaylen Brown. 28, Ben Simmons. 29, Chris Middleton. 30, Julius Randle. 31, Domantas Sabonis. 32, Brandon Ingram. 33, Shea. 34, De'Aaron Fox. 35, Ja Morant. 36, Pascal Siakam. 37, Drew Holiday. 38, Gordon Hayward. 39, Kyle Lowry. And 40 is where I get Nikola Vucevic. He's in my 40.
Okay, so let's first start with the players that, let's start with the Middleton thing, because that's clearly the biggest difference.
That really is, and that's crazy to me.
It is, and like I said, the names that I kept thinking about as like, okay, objectively, like Middleton, like, is, you know, obviously a good product of his system. Like, he's kind of set up perfectly to be the closer and their best perimeter defender, and he does that, and he does it very well, and he went amazing. He played amazingly well in the Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals, which is why I have him so high. But like, the names I kept looking at is like, is he really better than Jamal Murray? Is he really better than Donovan Mitchell? Is he really better than Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown? And that's kind of where I stopped, because Clay I have at 27, and Clay is obviously pre-injury Clay is much better than Middleton.
Oh, much better.
But you know, I am putting Clay at 27 because I feel like he's going to be a great player, but he's not going to be what he was just coming off of a torn ACL and Achilles back to back. But the reason I had Chris Middleton so high is that I think that Chris Middleton just played absolutely excellent in the conference finals and the finals, and he's a great two-way player. He's established himself as a great closer as well.
Yeah.
So I just had him there for basically, because this is my top 40 for right now. I think that can easily change every night, but it will definitely be different by the end of the season. But I think that Chris Middleton, just the way he played, like, I mean, that offense needed him, because it was just Giannis running to the basket. And outside of Giannis running to the basket, you got almost nothing from Jrue Holiday offensively from time to time. He was super inconsistent. Chris Middleton was the engine of that offense, in a sense. Obviously, the main engine was Giannis, but like, especially come closing time, they just gave the ball to Chris Middleton. And Chris Middleton was their closer. They said, take us home. And he was doing that, and he did it well enough to get them a championship. And Phoenix was a good defensive team. Atlanta, you know, it's the playoffs, so it's always going to be hard to score. But yeah. But at the end of the day, what he did against Phoenix in the playoffs was in the finals was really impressive, and that's why he's 21 right now, and it's kind of a prisoner of the moment thing, just like how AD was 11. But I can clearly see a world in which AD is 8, like tomorrow. You know what I mean? He could come back looking like AD tomorrow, and he's 8 instead of 11. And that's kind of just how I see where Chris Middleton is at.
So I'm going to do the thing that you did with me earlier with Chris Paul and Kat. Honestly, like, had Chris Middleton lost to Brooklyn, had that team lost to Brooklyn like how they were supposed to before injuries happened?
100%.
Chris Middleton probably would have been 37th on my list. So he did go from 37 in my mind to 29.
Yeah, so he made a jump.
He made a considerable jump, but those people, there's people under him who I think is better, but yeah. What he did throughout the playoffs, I'm like, I got to give it to you.
Yeah.
But personally, some of them people I had was better. But some of the people who I have above him, to me, could have replaced him and have still won it all.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're sleeping on him, but Zach LaVine definitely could have done it for me. Zach LaVine could have done it.
I don't think so, just because they need Giannis to be the free safety, and so Chris Middleton is their defender. Obviously, offensively, yes, LaVine could do what Middleton.
He would definitely do better.
Yeah, better.
I think Jaylen Brown could have done it as well. I think Jaylen Brown could have did what Chris Middleton didn't do.
Is Jaylen Brown as good of a shot creator as Chris Middleton? That's a question I asked myself.
I think he's better.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't.
Jaylen Brown was averaging like 24. I think he could. And defensive wise, they're probably nearly the same.
I like Middleton's handle better. No, defensive wise, I agree. They're in the same ballpark to me. But I think that I don't know. I like Middleton's handle better.
And Donovan Mitchell definitely yeah. could have.
Donovan is the one where I'm just like, I really want to put him over.
That really, you having Jamal Murray on there honestly shook me, because Jamal Murray is not even a top 10 point guard to me. He's not even
top. Dude, wait, where was Jamal on your list?
He's in my honorable mentions.
Wow.
He's not even on my 40.
Wow, I thought I for sure heard him.
No, he's not even in
my... So let me see yours again.
He's not even in my 40.
Okay, wow. Another disagreement we had was having Russ as high as 24.
Yeah. You had Draymond in there as well. I don't even have Draymond nowhere near my things.
So our differences are, I have Draymond And I have who'd I just name? Jamal Murray.
And Jeremy Grant. I don't got Jeremy Grant in there.
Those are the three differences. Oh, and De'Aaron Fox, that's four.
And Ja Morant.
Oh, you do have Ja.
See, 3 to 5. I called it earlier.
And then Kyle, who's Kyle?
Kyle Lowry.
Oh, Kyle Lowry. You have Kyle Lowry in the top 40?
I do.
Wow.
I think highly of the point guard position.
Yeah, I can tell that.
Point guards run the league.
So then who else don't you? Do you not have SGA?
Oh, no, I do.
You do. Shea is 33 for you.
Yeah, I got Shea.
So then who's the other? Oh, Klay Thompson. That's right. You too.
Yeah, he's injured right now.
That's fair to reserve a right on him. I give you a pass on that. So, yeah, we really have, like, essentially four differences. That's crazy. Klay, to me, is kind of a pass. So, why do you have Russ 24? Because I have Russ 30.
Because at the end of the day, even though he made the triple-double look like nothing. Yeah.
He's clearly a great player.
Honestly, just think about it. Like, there was no triple-doubles like this, especially averaging triple-doubles. Mm-hmm. For like 50 years. Literally Oscar Robertson, who did it once, and this man has done it 3 years in a row while also leading the league in assists 3 times.
I ain't gonna lie to you, it feels kind of crazy. It feels prisoner of the moment to have Jrue Holiday slightly over Westbrook.
It does.
But I still feel like I just remember that Houston series, man, where the Lakers were just like, fuck Westbrook. Let him shoot a million shots. And like that means something to me. I'm not the guy who's like anti-Westbrook, who's like, yeah, Westbrook's the worst. He's inefficient. No, I think that Westbrook's inefficiency is also at the same time what makes him great. It's kind of the double-edged sword. Like, you need him to have that aggression, because if he doesn't have that aggression, then he's not an off-ball shooter. So what does he bring to the table? So you kind of have to take some of that inefficiency in order to get the best out of Westbrook. So I'm not hating on Westbrook. Like, me, Westbrook 30, I still look at him as a very good player. But I just remember that Houston series where you could game plan against him like that. And truth be told, Jrue Holiday was mad inconsistent offensively in the playoffs. And that was surprising to me, because he never struck me as an inconsistent player before. But this year, he was inconsistent in the playoffs. But you know what? The whole series, everybody still guarded him. Everybody still respected him.
That's because he can shoot, though. See, yeah. Russell Westbrook is our version.
I just think shooting just matters so much. And I know that's a simple thing to say in 2021. But when it comes to basketball, like, I think these guys, like these Westbrooks, these Ben Simmons, these Giannis's, like,
there's ways around it.
Like, obviously, Giannis just found out, fuck you guys. Giannis is a different breed, because he's literally like, I'm just more athletic than everybody. Like, I'm just more physically gifted than everybody, which is crazy. But, you know, guys like, and Ben Simmons is kind of that to an extent. But, like, Westbrook and all of them, it's if you don't got that shot, man, it really, really is tough. And so that, combined with the inefficiencies that we don't have to talk about with Westbrook, that had him 30. So he wasn't that much lower, but he's like, what, 6 spots lower for me.
Yeah.
This was another one that I had that, we talked about Klay. Again, Jamal Murray, dude, I have him so high because of what that bubble was everything. Like, he went crazy in that bubble, and he was playing great last year before he got hurt.
He was.
He was up and down, but he got it together.
And he started picking it up, and then as he started picking it up, he ended up getting hurt, so.
Yeah. I think he's just a primetime playoff performer. That's why I have him so high, is I just trust that. Last time we saw Jamal Murray in the playoffs, he was giving us 50 pieces.
I disagree with that, actually. I think he was a primetime performer in that one setting.
In the bubble.
Yeah, but usually, other than that, he low-key is like a choke show. He's honestly, like, if you look at his stuff, he's kind of like
a choke show. Yeah, but I think that was him turning the corner. Not that he's going to keep doing that, but that was him turning the corner, like, mental-wise. And I think that next time Jamal Murray, we see him in the playoffs, which is hopefully this year, hopefully he'll be back in time for the playoffs. And you know, I won't fully judge him this playoff, no matter how great he is, just because he's expected to come back sometime in March or April. So that's, like, in line with the playoffs. And you're just coming off a torn ACL, dude, like, you're not going to come back and hit the ground running. Like, right. You have to rehab and stuff like that. So, really, it's crazy to say this, but the 2023 playoffs, I think we're going to really find out about Jamal Murray. Like, it sounds like a goofy thing to say, but I'm serious with that. But I just have him 23 because I have the faith.
Wait, where did you have Donovan Mitchell at? You had him under Jamal Murray?
Right under.
That, to me, is absolute crazy. Because
I looked at their numbers I looked at their numbers so hard last year, or last year's numbers, and Jamal had a better assist-to-turnover ratio. He was more efficient in his shooting. And obviously, it helps that he has the great Nikola Jokic running the offense. But Donovan, like, that offense, that Utah offense, even though he doesn't have, like, a Jokic, like, he has a lot of great that is a great offense with a lot of weapons in a system that, because you take away, you like, not take away Jokic, but obviously outside of Jokic and Jamal, and now, like, Michael Porter's kind of stepping into that role, like, those other guys are just kind of there. Well, not anymore. Now they got Aaron Gordon.
I was like,
so really, it's just one person that's
that. Will Barton Loki can score. No, Will Barton be going crazy.
He can't score.
He can score.
So maybe that's not the best example.
Because I was about to say, you got to think, Donovan Mitchell, it low key is honestly Donovan Mitchell or bust.
Yeah.
Even though you have Mike Conley, and you have Jordan Clarkson, and you have Bojan Bogdanovic, it all start with Donovan Mitchell absolutely going ballistic. Yeah. Without him going ballistic,
they don't even have a chance.
They really don't. They go crazy once he go crazy, while Jamal goes crazy because Jokic just setting things up and doing everything. Donovan is the one
who's got to do all this. Well, there was a lot of times where Jamal is like co-running the, like, type of thing. Like, where Jamal, there was a lot of times, especially in the bubble when Denver was great, was when Jamal had the ball and Jokic was either just like a screener, which is obviously a part of the offense, but there was a lot of times when the responsibility was on Jamal. Even though Jokic is the best player and the engine of the offense, there was a lot of times in which Jamal was like very, very crucial in doing what Donovan does. But you can, you know, I'm not mad at you arguing Donovan over Jamal. I think they're pretty similar. And I know that that's a disagreement from you, considering Jamal didn't make your top 40.
He didn't. I think there's other point guards way better than Jamal. I just don't think Jamal's good, you know.
I think you're haunted by fantasy. I think you're haunted by fantasy basketball.
That, but, like, Jamal just isn't as nice to me as he should be.
Ben, like, Simmons was 25 for me. Where was he for you?
Oh, Ben Simmons wasn't low key. Let's see. Ben Simmons was 28 for me.
Okay, so that's similar. Drew Holiday was where?
Drew Holiday was 37 for me.
37. Okay, yeah. See, I had him 28. See? So that was our big difference. We talked about Drew Holiday. Bam, where was he for you?
I had Bam at 25.
I have him at 29.
Okay.
The people he was below was Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown, Klay Thompson, Drew Holiday.
Low key though, I might like that better with Bam and Ben.
Yeah.
Being switched. I think I do like Bam better than Bam personally.
I have Julius Randle 31, is crazy because Julius Randle was, so let's talk about Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert. So my three, these are three players in a row, but I really want to focus on just two of them. Julius Randle, Draymond Green, who's not on your list, so we can have a separate small discussion there. Yes. But let's focus on Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert, because those two, Julius Randle 31, Rudy Gobert 33, those two in particular were both made our All-NBA teams, if I remember correctly, when we did our podcast.
Julius Randle and who?
And Rudy Gobert made our All-NBA
teams. They did.
And that shows you how broken All-NBA is. Because sometimes it just comes down to who are the best players. I get that there's positions involved, and I'm not doing the math off the top of my head, but the 33rd best player on your list should not be
All-NBA?
On one of the 15 best roster spots for All-NBA. Like, am I tripping on that?
Nah.
But, like, also, to be fair, how, like, Rudy Gobert's stock was hurt in the playoffs, obviously, it was. Because of what happened with him getting kind of run off the floor at the end. So that, and Julius Randle's was too.
He honestly
with that Atlanta thing.
Got him out of there.
What do you think do you think Julius Randle would have been like, I don't know, ahead of, I don't know, like you're behind what, Ben Simmons, maybe above Bam, if we just went off regular season?
Yeah, he definitely would have been better than Bam. He probably would have been better than Jaylen Brown, honestly, too, for me. So he'd have been, I just, after you told me something, I just switched around Ben and Bam. So now I do have Ben at 25, but I got Ben and Bam at 28. Because I'm like, I actually do like Ben better than Bam. Ben is just such a...
Ben better than Bam. Just the way you're saying it.
I like it.
It's goofy, but...
Ben better.
But yeah, I think those are two players that their cases got hurt in the playoffs.
Facts.
I think that those are two players that they would have been higher had we done this at the end of the season rather than at the end of the entire playoffs.
Honestly, Bam's stock probably gotten hurt too because he didn't go crazy in the playoffs either.
I mean, he didn't. I mean, it was a first round exit. Literally, so like sweep. It's four games. You know,
they didn't get a single game.
Okay, I have Levine 34, which you had him what 26? Oh my gosh.
I had him at 23.
23.
That's okay. Crazy to me. Zach LaVine is so amazing.
Listen, man, this is progress for him to be in my top 40. But he played well this season, but they still just didn't win games. And when Zach LaVine went down with COVID protocol, they started winning games. And I'm not saying that Zach LaVine, your team is better off without Zach LaVine. That Chicago team is not better off without Zach LaVine. However, Zach LaVine does not impact winning the way his numbers would suggest, in my opinion.
And I could say the same thing for Karl Anthony Towns for you. And
see, that's where we just disagree. Like, I have a soft spot for... I'm on Towns Island, you're on LaVine Island.
Yeah, my Zach LaVine is your Karl Anthony Towns. We're like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Except I don't think lowly of Cat as you do Zach LaVine.
That's true. But Cat, he has a two-way ability, which is why I see him translating more to wins than I do LaVine.
I don't disagree with that, but I don't think Zach LaVine's horrible on defense.
I think he's below average. For sure.
I think he's decent. I think he's decent on that, and his playmaking got better, so that would be able to help. Plus, with the way his new team is set up, I think they can fight for maybe like a fifth or sixth seed this year.
They can. I still think they're getting bounced in the first round.
Oh, because they will.
I don't think that their roster like construction like works.
Literally, they either have to go against Philly, Brooklyn, Miami, or Milwaukee. Like. Yeah. They not
or Atlanta maybe yeah, Atlanta jumps Atlanta. Philly if Philly has a disastrous season.
Exactly, because Ben Simmons definitely not coming back.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, that is.
Okay, so bonus SGA, Jeremy Grant, Nikola Vucevic, Brandon Ingram, and Pascal is my closeout. What do you want to touch on that? And then we'll get to honorable mentions.
Where did you have Sabonis at?
35.
Oh, I have him at 31. You had Pascal where?
40.
I got him at 36.
And I have Jeremy Grant, who didn't make your list.
No, he didn't make my list. But I have Brandon. I have Brandon Ingram at 32. Brandon Ingram, I think highly of him.
Okay,
I think,
so read your 35 through 40 real quick, just to see where we're at.
Okay, 35 is Ja Morant. 36 is Pascal Siakam. 37 is Drew Holiday. 38 is Gordon Hayward. 39 is Kyle Lowry.
Oh, that's what it is. The Hayward, the Lowry, the, yeah. Yeah.
Then I got Vucevic at 40 like you, though. Or Vucevic.
Yeah, he's 38 for me because he's obviously a very talented offensive center, but defensive. Yeah, he's a poor man's Jokic.
He really is.
Without playmaking.
But I would say he couldn't be the poor man Jokic because Sabonis is already.
He's more of a poor man's DeMarcus Cousins when DeMarcus was good.
Yeah, you have to be a poor man's DeMarcus Cousins.
Sabonis is a playmaker like Jokic.
Yeah, he would be the poor man's version to me of Jokic.
Yeah.
And that's why I got him so high on my list.
Yeah, Sabonis is nice. SGA, I just want to give flowers to. I know you had him like 33. I had him 36, so it's not really worth arguing. We kind of view him the same.
Yes, he's amazing.
He's that boy.
Absolutely. He definitely probably going to go up higher on this list eventually in the future.
Absolutely. Brandon Ingram, 39.
I disagree heavily with that, honestly. I think Brandon Ingram personally is better than Chris Middleton easily. But Chris Middleton did what he did in the playoffs, and Brandon Ingram is not even sniffing the playoffs. So I couldn't give him that place in the right contest.
I just feel like when I watch him play, like I feel like I feel like I'm not getting into defensive side because the defense isn't his, it isn't his expertise. But
yeah, it isn't.
Offensively, I don't know, man. When I watch him, I just feel like he's not as good as he as his numbers suggest.
I think he's amazing. His numbers are.
Oh, I think he's really good. I just don't think he's as good as.
I think his numbers.
I don't know. There's something about him that's just a little bit forgettable offensively, which is, you know.
But like, I mean,
when I'm talking, when I'm comparing him to these people,
yeah, he's honestly, to me, Brandon Ingram's like a lesser Paul George.
On just offense, you're talking, obviously. Yeah. Not the two in his side.
But I think Brandon Ingram's a better playmaker though than Paul George is. Brandon Ingram's a pretty good playmaker. He just doesn't really get credit for it because Zion was really running the offense later on in the season.
True. And I think that's part of why I have him 39 instead of a little bit higher. It's just because I think that like Zion just takes from Ingram, and it's not the most perfect fit for him too. So that's why I have him. I have him 39.
It's because he can't play off ball like he should be able to. His off ball is nearly as good as Chris Middleton is.
Okay, let's go with. Okay, so you clearly had a lot of point guards to close out. You had De'Aaron Fox, you had John Morant, you had Kyle Lowry. You said you hinted at this earlier. So you just put a lot of stock in the value of the point guard position and how tough it is. And I respect that. But to me, this top 40 list is just the best players. And like it does factor in, it factors in everything. It does factor in, you know, your responsibilities to the team, how much you've impacted the winning, what your numbers are. All of those things do matter. So it's not that like what you're equating doesn't matter to me. I just think you put more value in the positions than you need to. Like to me, the top 40 list comes down to just like. Who are the 40 best hoopers? Who are the 40 best ball players in the NBA?
And I also think that De'Aaron Fox and Ja Morant are definitely the 40 in the top 40.
I think they absolutely should be at the end of this season.
And I don't.
De'Aaron Fox was on my honorable mention, so I'll read that in a minute. But
I just don't. I couldn't count 40 players in my mind that was better than Ja Morant and De'Aaron Fox.
Ja Morant just had too many moments where he just was like, he had a lot of up and down. Last year
he did, but what saved
him, he went through COVID and he went through ankle injury and I think another ankle injury. I have for fantasy, man, it was a mess. I got like 4 good weeks out of John
Morant. That's why you're down on him.
No,
you had him in fantasy.
No, I just, well, in a sense, yes, because I watched him closely, more closely than anybody, and I was frustrated with this man getting like 9-point games and like. But his playmaking is very, very good.
He's definitely top 10.
He is, honestly, you know, he kind of felt like it. At times, he ranged from like, and this is going to be weird comparison because it's two different sports, but I can't think of the NBA equivalent of it right now. But like there were times when he looked like Derrick Rose, the franchise player. Yeah. And there was times he looked like a game manager, like he was Alex Smith, 49ers quarterback, where he was just kind of like making the, like, okay, Mike Conley.
There we go.
So like Conley. He ranged between like Mike Conley and
Derrick Rose,
prime Derrick Rose. Like he had that range of throughout the season, and it was frustrating. Like I think he's a young guy, he's figuring it out. I still think he's going to be the best player in that draft class.
Dude, that is definitely possible. It's definitely possible.
He is amazing. So I'm not like him not being on my top 40 is any indictment against him. It projecting forward, it's just right now. Last season he was like, he had great games. He had 30 point triple doubles, but then he also had games where he had like 4 points. And you know, he just sick. I think I just want a little bit more consistency to be in my top 40.
See, the reason why he made my top 40 and what really saved him is what he did against Utah in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That man went absolutely bonkers.
True. I feel like that's one of the most forgotten things of the playoffs.
Yes. He went he stole a game.
Yeah.
And also, he led them to the playoffs. Like, without him, they don't get to the playoffs.
Of course.
He is like, he affects winning. His playmaking affects winning, so 100%. I have to.
100%. I respect all that. I just if he was just a little bit more consistent. But he does consist. The one thing he is consistent is he is consistently positively impacting his team and moving towards wins. So I'm not mad at him being on the list at all. If anything, I'd probably throw him over Pascal, because Pascal just Pascal is just, since winning the championship, I don't know. I've just kind of gotten off on Pascal.
And then,
like,
De'Aaron Fox, I just really think he in a bad situation.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you ain't ever gonna get an argument from me about Sacramento being in a good situation.
Like, let's say him
shout
and
out my boy Kang Kangs should never trade Russell Westbrook to bed.
Like, let's say if De'Aaron Fox is on the Pacers, mm-hmm. the Pacers low key nice. They real nice. He they best player for sure. Nah, he might not be their best player, but he definitely going crazy on there. He would be fighting with Sabonis though, because I think very highly of De'Aaron Fox. He is absolutely a monster.
I think you could flirt with that. I think it could be a 1A, 1B thing.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. Because he's nasty.
Because De'Aaron Fox is one of my very, very close honorable mentions. Like, probably my first or second honorable mention. But real quickly, you have Gordon Hayward. I don't think that Gordon Hayward is better than Jeremy Grant.
You know why I have Gordon Hayward now that I'm thinking about it? Gordon Hayward's a nice playmaker.
He is a nice playmaker.
And he also, let's not forget what he was doing in Utah. Like, he's the only reason he was terrible.
4 years from
that was. But the only reason he was terrible with Boston is
the 2021 top 40, bro, not the 2017 top 40.
You're right.
Because that 2017 Gordon Hayward, that was a menace. Or was it 16? Whatever. Anyways, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That last season in Utah, he was that boy.
But the reason, the issue is, people sleep on Gordon Hayward because he had that little Boston stint. But the problem with Boston was, A, he got hurt literally the first game there.
Traumatically, too.
Like, so then that second year, he wasn't even healthy. And he was playing through it still kind of, you know, because And then the third year, when he finally was, you know, actually healthy.
They had that weird season where where the chemistry issues were bad.
But, and you know, Jason Tatum's going to be the man now. He's the man.
Yeah.
Then you got Jaylen Brown, who's really nice, and they're bumping him up. And you also got Kemba Walker, so it was just a weird situation. But when he got hurt, that was the reason why they honestly lost to Miami, because his injury.
Yeah.
So, and he's just like a nice little playmaker to set things up. And as soon as he left.
He's a much better modern version of what Batum was.
Yes, wait.
Well, I wouldn't say way better, because Batum was a better defender in his prime.
He was, but offensively, they're not even close.
Offensively, yes. Hayward is nice. So I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. I just think Jeremy Grant is better because Jeremy Grant's a better defender, and I think he's a better scorer. I think
Hayward. I disagree with that.
I think Hayward's a better playmaker.
I think Gordon can shoot better than him. The numbers I think would suggest that as well. And his efficiency, he's definitely more efficient, I think, as well.
Yeah, but Jeremy Grant had no spacing in Detroit.
Yeah.
They told Isaiah Stewart to shoot threes at the end of the season.
They was like, well, you might as well throw up threes too, my boy.
Yeah. Like, bro, that was tough. I think give Jeremy Grant some more spacing. Like, I think he's slightly better. Gordon Hayward, to be fair, is on my honorable mentions, and he's high on my honorable mentions too.
Jeremy Grant is high on my honorable mentions.
All right, let's get to those and get out of here then.
Yeah, so, let's do it.
Honorable mentions for me. How many do you want to read? Do you want to read to 50?
I'm definitely going to 50.
That's fair. All right, so my 41, which I'm surprised because I thought he was going to be on yours, and I thought you were going to be surprised and immediately notice that he's not on my top 40, is DeAndre Ayton.
Oh.
Because of how much I talked about his importance to Phoenix's run.
He was important.
And I think Fox is my 41, Ayton's my 42. And then after that it'd be a combination of no order. LaMelo Ball has to be considered.
Yeah.
Colin Sexton to me has to be considered. Gordon Hayward has to be considered. Ja Morant has to be considered. Low-key DeJounte Murray. I want to give DeJounte Murray some love here.
His flowers.
Terry Rozier as well.
Low-key, I kind of forgot about him.
Terry Rozier was a bucket last season. Tobias is still up and down, but he still deserves to be considered. CJ McCollum deserves to be considered. Mike Conley had a great season last season, but no. I wouldn't put him in the same tier as everybody else. And then Christian Woods and DeMar DeRozan. And that'll round out my honorable mentions.
Okay, I have a few more,
but I won't name them.
My honorable mentions is definitely different from yours.
Okay.
So my first one, my 41, is LaMelo Ball. He barely missed the list for me.
Yeah, he barely missed it for me too. He's probably one of the closer ones.
Literally, like, I think
he's probably like 3 or 4 spots away.
I think he's going to jump into my 30s next year. Probably higher, honestly. I think he's going to go crazy next year.
I don't know if he can go. I don't know if he can go higher than. I don't know if he can get 29 or 28.
Yeah, probably not that high, but he'll definitely jump into 30s. Then my 42 that you didn't even mention, Michael Porter Jr. I think, like, his efficiency was just ridiculous. This man shot 54% from the field and 45% from the three while averaging 18 to 20 points a game. Like, he, to me, right now in my mind, is the second best player in Denver. Then for my 43, I had Jeremy Grant. My 44, I had Malcolm Brogdon. My 45, I got your boy Jamal. That's where I see him. 46, I had DeAndre Ayton there. 47, I had DeMar DeRozan. 48, I had Colin Sexton. 49, I had CJ McCollum. And 50, I got Terry Rozier to round it out.
Okay. I like that. I like that list overall. So let's end with this. Who's one name it can be in your... You named LaMelo, so give me the opposite end of it. We'll do one of each. We'll do one person that you think is either in your top 40 and you think is going and you expect or you have a feeling could fall out or fall drastically, and somebody that you think is either in your top 40 and could jump into or is not in your top 40 and could jump in, which you named LaMelo. So, like,
can I name another person?
Let me rephrase that because I didn't put that the right way. So somebody in your, they can be either in your top 40 or outside of your top 40, but you think that they could fall drastically. So give me one of those, and then you gave me already LaMelo Ball, somebody who's outside your top 40 that you think can jump in. But give me somebody they can be in your top 40 or they don't have to be, but somebody that you could just see really falling on your list.
Can I give two for each? Because I had another person I was thinking about.
Okay.
So the first person who I think that's in my top 40 that can fall out of my top 40 is Kyle Lowry. He's on the Miami Heat, so he's probably going to do less. So I definitely see him falling further from my top 40. And also, I see Jrue Holiday falling from my top 40 as well.
Okay.
And then for the people who I think are going to replace those two or jump in, I think it's going to be LaMelo, like I said earlier. Mm-hmm. But I also think Michael Porter Jr., especially because Jamal Murray's not going to be healthy right off the bat. I think he's still going to be hurt at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, no, Jamal's not coming back till at least March.
Yeah, so I think Michael Porter Jr. is going to absolutely go crazy. So those two are probably my top two picks and choices to hop up in the 40s. In my top 40s. Mm-hmm. There's probably other people I could choose, but those are like my leading candidates.
Okay, yeah. You know what? You've talked me into it. I agree. I think that... like I have LaMelo like basically kind of 43 right now. I think he 100%. I think he will, because Fox I could feel like could move into my top 40 as well, but I don't think he'll boom the way LaMelo can boom in my top. I agree with the take that like there is a world in which like LaMelo is like 32, 33 for me, somewhere like that. And so I think he can boom up the charts. So I'll say LaMelo is somebody that I can think can jump in. And another person I think that can jump in is Ja Morant. So LaMelo and Ja are my two that I think can really jump in. But I do think some others can. I think De'Aaron Fox can, all of that. But just the two that I would put the most money in jumping in are LaMelo and Ja. And people that I could see falling out of the top 40 are Draymond Green for me.
Definitely.
Draymond Green for me. And who else would I have fall out? And Pascal. I mean, I know that's cheap because he's my 40, but Pascal. And if you want one more that's not...
True, it might be Jamal Murray because he's going to be hurt.
I'm not going to move him. I'm going to specifically not move him until I see him play and he's not. Like, I gotta judge you off of when you play. All I can't judge you off of not playing.
What about Clay?
You know what I'm saying?
Wouldn't Clay could potentially fall out to top 40 because he's gonna come back rusty.
That's a good name. Yep, Clay would be the other one then. Because I see Jeremy Grant getting better, not worse. Maybe not. Definitely. Maybe not moving up the list, but like I don't see him regressing. So I could see, yeah. So that's perfect. So Clay, Draymond, and Pascal are my three I could see falling out, and then entering in. I would say again LaMelo, Ja, and then probably either De'Aaron Fox or DeAndre Ayton, if DeAndre Ayton takes another step forward. So that'll be it for us for the top 40 of the NBA season coming into it. I'm excited, man. I'm excited for our fantasy basketball league, finalizing that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going crazy this year, y'all. Mark my words. I'm making the playoffs.
Trust me.
Guaranteed.
We will be updating you about our fantasy basketball league throughout these podcasts. Like, absolutely. And of course, you'll probably see some through social media and text and all that. But I'm very excited, man. I'm very excited for NBA basketball to be back. My plan is to have in-depth conference previews of each conference of the East and the West before the season starts. Don't know dates yet on when to get those up, but I wanted to do this top 40 and then as well as those two conference previews. I'm gonna step away from the division format that I usually do, just because this year six podcasts to record in 2 weeks is a lot, considering my schedule, my workload right now, with the stuff in Detroit that I do, the Instagram content, all of that. I have to scale back, but I want to do two longer in-depth preview podcasts for each conference, so that'll be it. And then I'm working on some stuff for the rap side as well, which I won't get into here. But thank you everyone for tuning in. As always, I'm your host, Chris Platy. Catch me on Real Chris Platy on Instagram. That's my handle. And my Twitter, actually. That's the same thing. So if you don't know how to spell Real, don't follow. It's been a minute since I plugged myself on the podcast. But thank you, Josh, for coming on, man. I appreciate you as always. This was fun to do because this was shit that we've been dying to do. We've been literally dying to have this conversation for months with each other. And I've kept telling you the issue between our relationship is always, you always want to talk to me about this stuff. And I'm always like, no, let's get it into a pod. And you're but I want to just talk about it right now.
I just want to talk about it now. Like, come on. It's so interesting.
But thank you, my boy, for coming on the podcast. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I'll catch you on the next one.